You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And to get this show every day, I need you to subscribe to Locked On Mets, wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Apple, Spotify, Himalaya. Also, don't forget, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. On today's show, I'm going to be focused solely on Robinson Cano. What I want to do is I want to break down his statistics in the first half, particularly the big shift from first half to second half stats when it came to his 2019 season. Then in the second half of the show, I'm going to give you his report card grade and then get into the future of Cano with the Mets as he is going to be part of this franchise for the next 4 years. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, check me out on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizedOnline.com. The postseason is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter the promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Now, this really was a tale of two halves for Robinson Cano, and he dealt with his injuries along the way. But in the first half, Cano really struggled. Okay, in 65 games, 60 starts, he hit .240, only had 4 home runs, 18 RBIs, 17 doubles, 19 runs, on base percentage .287, slugging percentage .360, and an OPS of .646. Now, one thing I do want to do really quick is I want to explain some of these offensive statistics a little bit further, because I got a message from one of my longtime listeners, Eric Davis, on Twitter, and he asked me to kind of go through and explain some of these stats a little bit further. So I'm going to try to do this as I go through the report cards and I come across these certain stats. So the first one is slugging percentage, which I just mentioned there. Cano had a .360 slugging percentage in the first half. Now in the second half, his slugging percentage jumped to .541. That's a big leap. Where do those numbers come from? Well, slugging percentage is a measure of the batting productivity of a hitter, and it's basically calculated by taking the total bases and then dividing them by the number of at-bats. So obviously a double is going to be worth more than a single, a home run, and so on and so forth, divided amongst your at-bats. So you might be a 300 hitter like Wilson Ramos was for a stretch of the season, but since he was hitting a majority of singles, that slugging percentage wasn't that high. And so what you see in comparing those numbers with Cano, the fact stands that he was much better at driving the baseball with some authority in the second half. Now, another stat to go over is OPS. And that one is simple. It is the on-base percentage plus the slugging percentage. So for Cano, his on-base percentage in the second half was .339. Slugging percentage was .541. You add those numbers together, you get his OPS of .880. And the reason why OPS has become such a common stat amongst people in baseball is because batting average is no longer considered that important, because a walk is just as good as a base hit. So the two things they value is getting on base and driving the baseball, and that's where we get that combined OPS. Now, Cano had 9 home runs in the second half, which was 5 more than he had in the first half, and nearly 100 less at-bats. 21 RBIs, more in the second half than the first half with 18. He had 11 doubles, scored 8 more runs. He was just a better player overall in the second half. Now, there's a couple more stats that I want to talk about when it comes to Cano. One of them being OPS+, which is another stat that takes a player's OPS, on-base plus slugging, and then uses a variety of external factors like ballparks to normalize those numbers across the entire league. I'm not smart enough to figure this out on my own, but it's one of those stats that tells you how a player compares to their competition. And it adjusts those scores based on a league average being 100. So for Cano, his OPS plus across baseball was 78 in the first half. So that is 22 under the league average of 100. That tells you that in the first half, Cano was not a good offensive player, which all the other stats point to as well. But in the second half, that number shot up to 137. So 37 points higher than league average. That is a very good offensive player. So the question is, which one is it? Is Cano more the first half guy or the second half guy? Bottom line for his 2019 season, you have to combine all the numbers. Now, one last stat to talk about and to understand Cano's season as a whole is weighted runs created plus. Now, according to Fangraphs, this is a rate statistic which attempts to credit a hitter for the value of each outcome, single, double, triple, etc., rather than treating all hits or times on base equally while also controlling for park effects and current run environment. Once again, it's a stat that's scaled to 100 as being league average, and they say that this stat, weighted runs created plus, is a better representation of offensive value than batting average, RBI, OPS. This is as good as a guess when it comes to Fangraphs. And for Cano, his weighted runs created plus in 2019 was 93. So, slightly below average. Now, you look back at 2018 with the Mariners in 80 games, his weighted runs created plus was 135. The year before that, it was 112. So, he has been an above average hitter not too long ago, and again in the second half, he was too. Now the question remains, can he find that form for a full season? And that's something I will talk about in just a minute. Whether you're catching a game, a concert, or a show, Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person, earning credit back on all purchases made through the Vivid Seats app via their Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. Vivid Seats helps fans find seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more, all through the Vivid Seats app. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience, as well as an in-app loyalty program, Vivid Seats Rewards. Here is how simple this is. Go to your App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are then automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program and will enjoy credits on all of their purchases as part of Vivid Seats Rewards. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. Guys, let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable alternative to Viagra and Cialis with the same FDA-approved active ingredients, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no more waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, I've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MLB. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code MLB to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right, Mets fans, let's talk a little bit more about Robinson Cano and his season in 2019. First, I want to talk about defensively. Cano is worth -6 defensive runs saved this year. Now, I believe I've talked about this stat before, but just to reiterate, it is a statistic that measures the number of runs a player saved or cost his team on defense relative to an average player. So it gives a very clear, definitive value to what a player brings. And Cano wasn't great. Now, if you look at some of the other statistics, basically what they tell you is he's sure-handed, doesn't make too many errors, turns a good double play, is a little bit slow, doesn't have the range that he used to. And what that basically comes to is a slightly below average fielder. He'll make the plays. He definitely doesn't look like Daniel Murphy out there, but he's also not a gold glover who can range to his left and his right like he maybe could earlier on in his career with the Yankees. So that's where they're at with Cano. But with Pete Alonso locked in at first base, Cano's going to be your second baseman for the next 4 years. And so eventually getting someone maybe like Andrés Giménez, who we talked about last week on the episode titled The Future of the Shortstop Position for the Mets, something like that. I think that was Friday's episode. But I talked about the Mets' top prospect and his potential assets when it comes to being a really above-average shortstop, having someone who can play that position really well with Cano being a little bit of a liability is something that the Mets need to think about. But for 2020, I do think the defense up the middle with Rosario and Cano is passable. So what does his season grade out as? We have to remember that Brody Van Wagenen advertised Cano as an all-star. He was supposed to be a big driving force for this Mets lineup. And yes, he was a good contributor in the second half. But in the first half, when the team was struggling, Cano was at the center of a lot of it. Now, I don't want to completely ignore the injuries because they were real. And I'll talk about those in a little bit. But you still have to grade the season as it was. And I think I'm being generous by giving him a C-. I really do. You could probably go a little bit worse than that because he let the team down with the high expectations that were placed on him. Now, relative expectations for someone in their late 30s, I don't know what those are. I don't know what you can expect from this guy moving forward. The one thing I will say when it comes to Cano is that he was slightly unlucky this year. First off, another stat that I didn't mention yet is BABIP, which is batting average on balls in play, which I think is pretty self-explanatory in the name. And league average for BABIP is usually around 300. That's generally what it is. For Cano's career, his BABIP is 318. That's including this season. But in 2019, his BABIP was 280. So that tells you that he was getting slightly unlucky. That comes from those line drives that were hit right at someone, stuff like that. But really, where Cano got unlucky this year was he got hit in the hand a lot early in the season. And I really think that was a huge factor that wasn't talked about much. Because Cano tried to be there for his team as a leader, tried to get out there, tried to play through those injuries. And I just don't think he was right. There was also the hamstring issues, which he probably pushed through more than he should have at times. But when we saw a relatively healthy player in the second half, especially those big strong hands, being able to get them around and have the same quick swing that he's had his entire career, we saw a good offensive player again. And so I'm encouraged by that second half. And part of that is going to be to take the depth that this team has and rest the guy. Put him off the bench a couple days a week. Try to keep those legs fresh. They ran him into the ground this year with Jed Lowry out and everything else. Maybe if Lowry's healthy, if you have Jeff McNeil and maybe J.D. Davis playing a little bit more infield, you can try to limit his playing time a little bit so that when Cano is on the field, he is ready to go and he can give you solid offensive production because he's still a dangerous hitter. We've seen it. One thing I like about Cano's game is that I always thought it was a game that would age relatively well because he was usually not that streaky of a hitter. He was pretty consistent with a high batting average, and he never had a game that was predicated on the home run ball. It was more predicated on the double and driving runners in. I mean, he did have a season with the Mariners in 2016 where he hit 39 home runs. There was also some steroid questions in Seattle, so take with that what you will. Other than that, there's only one other season of his career where he hit 30. So I think he can get back to the basics, be a doubles hitter. He doesn't even have to hit in the four hole of your lineup. The way this Mets lineup is stacked with the young players coming up, you could conceivably bat Cano in the six hole and just try to get a 280, you know, batting average with him getting on base a lot, driving in 70 runs a season, something like that. And that would be a really good player for the Mets moving forward. This year, he had 39 RBIs in 100 games. That's not going to get it done. So the question is, was this 1 year an aberration, or was this a player in his age 36 season finally starting to feel some injuries? The hand-eye coordination starts to slow down, and we're going to see a steep regression over the last 4 years of his contract. I really don't know, and there's no way of any of us knowing. But I do have a little bit of hope that 2020 will be a very good year for Robinson Cano. Will he be an all-star? No. But he doesn't have to be. He just has to provide them with steady contributions and not be a liability to write on the lineup card every single day, which sometimes that salary dictates. But hopefully we see a better version of Cano. Thank you for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.